All right, we are live, and today is Sunday, February 18, 2018. We're in our series, Living in the Presence of a Holy God. We've been talking about the Spirit overflowing, so tonight we're going to continue that, so I guess we'll say call this the Spirit Overflowing Part 2. This is a live recording, so all in favor say amen.
Amen.
Micah?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. All right, and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for what we have learned and what we will continue to learn about living in your presence, Lord. You are a holy God. And you transcend your creation. Nevertheless, you are pleased to not only dwell with us, but in us. And so, God, we pray that you will meet us here. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, we pray now that our eyes be opened to the truth of your word, and that our ears be opened, and that wherever necessary you would turn our hearts, Lord, that we might be healed. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we had talked last week about the Spirit overflowing, and then this moved in. We had to stop because of time, moves into who the Holy Spirit is. So I'm combining three lessons a little bit here. So I'm just going to go over first some of the personal properties of the Holy Spirit after I tell you this. I grew up in a church where we would sing Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost every day, every week. You probably remember that, right? And we would sing the hymn, Spirit of God, descend upon my soul or descend upon my heart. We would sing that. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would be mentioned here or there in a sermon, a spattering. So I knew about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know him. And my first introduction to the Holy Spirit happened on the night I was truly saved, which was 1 o'clock in the morning, September 27, 1972. And I won't get into it. It's a long testimony, but basically, I knew it was in the living room of the house we lived in before the one we're living in now, and there was a battle was raging over my soul. I knew that between God and the devil. I didn't know who would win. I only knew God was sovereign. I had really grown up with that teaching, you know, knowing the sovereignty of God really well. But I was scared to death because I thought, oh my goodness, if I die right now, what? Because I didn't know the word of God that well. So all of a sudden there was this huge battle, and you could sense it going on in the room. Jim was in the bedroom, and he had basically prayed to receive Christ the week before, and basically had challenged the devil, bring it on. I don't know what. The person who gave us the gospel, when he heard that, went, what? You did what? Because, you know, that was just, I don't know. Anyway, so the devil was bringing it on, but it was not on Jim. It was this night here. All right, at 1 a.m., finally, this is what happened. I heard a voice speaking to me, Mary, be still and know that I am God. I am the living spirit, and I come to live in you. You have died, but since I am the living Christ and have died and been raised from death unto life, you live and shall never die. And this went on, and I was writing it down. That was the first time I started. I was writing it all down, I still have that papers and shorthand, because I knew more shorthand back then. and I still have that saved. And basically, I was indicted for the sin of unbelief. And I had to repent of that sin of unbelief. And it was more of a general indictment than I saw you, you know, dump the food on the floor or something like that in defiance. It wasn't that type of thing, but it was all basically sin. All sin is unbelief. You didn't believe something. And but that began a living relationship with the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, whose name is the Holy Spirit. Many today continue to deny the Holy Spirit's personality. He has a personality. He's a person. They deny his role in salvation and the supernatural agency of the Holy Spirit. Some who know of the Holy Spirit will not teach on the Holy Spirit because he glorifies Jesus Christ and not himself, which is true. And studying the scripture about the Holy Spirit would focus on the Holy Spirit. And they use that and they say, so we won't teach about the Holy Spirit. So I've come to disagree with that position. By maintaining silence, many believers have been kept from the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who applies the work of Jesus Christ to our lives, and who is the gift of eternal life as the promise of the Father. All right. No, it might be that one later. So, as Christians, here's what we believe and affirm. Number one, there is one God, or divine essence. There is one God. Two, that the same one God, or the same one divine essence, is common to three truly divine persons who are designated Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Three, that among these three divine persons there obtains a natural order of subsistence and operation. The first person, would be God the Father, has life in himself. Now we're going to read some scripture, John 5, verse 26. Readers, get your Bibles open and ready. John 5, verse 26.
John 5, verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself.
Okay. And the second and third persons subsist and act from the first. John 8, verse 42.
John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me.
Alright, number four, that this order of the divine persons belongs to the divine essence prior to and irrespective of the covenant of grace. Meaning the Godhead existed prior to the covenant of grace, before anything was created. There was the Godhead. So the Godhead is called. Number five, that this natural order of subsistence and action is the ground and reason of the name Father, Son, and Spirit, which we say is Holy Spirit. The Son being begotten of the Father, and the Spirit by spiration proceeding from both. This is seminary stuff, but I think you can...
Spiration.
Well, we talk about inspiration is spiring in, and spiration is really technically the process of coming out, proceeding out from. Read that. Okay. Subsistence means real being or existence. Spiration is the act of breathing as a creative or life-giving function of deity. The act or manner in which the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. We kind of like Saint, we like Athanasius, and he said this: the Holy Ghost is from the Father and the Son, not made nor begotten, but proceeding. Thomas Aquinas said, all that exists in God is God. Okay. So there are two kinds of creation in God. The first is an external process that results in something outside of God. The second is an internal process of knowing and willing by the substance of God. The Son is consubstantial with the Father God. He is true God and from true God. Okay, meaning Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So they call that he's with. Con means with, substance. He's of the same substance and with. So I and the Father are one. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Second, this procession is from a single spiration proceeding from a single substance. This means that a single act of the will shared through the, I didn't realize how this is great big words here, shared through the consubstantiality of Father and Son, I and the Father are one, results in the spiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is thus not begotten, but proceeds from the love of the Father and the Son through an act of their unified will. Together they breathe forth the Holy Spirit. Let's listen to John 15, verse 26.
John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
Okay. Each has a distinct origin. The Son is often called the wisdom of God. You've heard that. Christ, the wisdom of God, proceeding from an act of the intellect. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is the love of God, the very breath of God, proceeding from an act of the will, an act of love. In these two great acts, we find the two processions which form the eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. As to the divine works, the Father is the source. The Son is the medium through which whatever happens, happens. And the Holy Spirit is the executive by which it is carried into effect. I've heard it explained, I might not say it right, but like you have a light switch. And it's sitting there, but until you, and you could plug something into the light switch, but until you turn something on, there's no power going to anything. All right, God is one. I want to say that. God is one. The persons are distinct. It's a mystery, but we are to preserve this mystery. We accept this mystery by faith. The call of the church is to preserve truth and to promote justice and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all creation. So I think we need to learn what the scriptures say about the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking about that now for months. Many deny his existence, many ignore him. Mostly today we see a counterfeit Holy Spirit. People use the name Holy Spirit, but the one to whom they refer is far different from the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Then we have those who seem unaware of the work of the Holy Spirit. So through this study, this one study that I had done, it was the idea to look at the Holy Spirit, who is the promise of the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, and many other names. Okay. A fellow named Samuel Chadwick in 1911 said, quote, "The gift of the Spirit is the crowning mercy of God in Christ Jesus. The incarnation and crucifixion, the resurrection and ascension were all preparatory to Pentecost. And you can read about it on your own, John chapters 14 to 16. And so you can highlight the verses referring to the Holy Spirit. I think I want to emphasize from this that it is an act of love. The Holy Spirit coming to indwell us, the Spirit of Christ, is an act of love. And his distinguishing characteristic is called procession. He proceeds. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have the same attributes. Okay, they all have the same attributes. But the distinguishing characteristic of God the Father is fatherhood. The distinguishing characteristic of Jesus Christ is sonship. The Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Father. That's their distinguishing characteristics. So, and the Holy Spirit's distinguishing characteristic is proceeding or procession, proceeding from the Father and the Son. That's what distinguishes the Holy Spirit. But it's all their attributes, they are God. They share all the same attributes. Okay.
So Christ is omnipresent.
Yeah. People don't like that. They want to say, "Oh, he left all that. He left all his godhood." Brother, don't they wish? Not a joke. So the idea is, we live in union with Christ, a vital spiritual union. Christ is the fullness of God, the life of God. In the Father is life, and in Jesus is life, and the Holy Spirit is the life producer. And Christ is the fullness of God, the life of God, and the love of God communicated to us. The Holy Spirit is the fullness of Christ, the life of Christ, and the one who communicates the love of Christ surrounding us, as does the air. He's communicating that love. Jesus breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit, and at Pentecost the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Okay, we need to understand the agenda of the Holy Spirit, and that is to make us holy. Not happy. To make us holy as God is holy. You will be happy in heaven someday. That's a by and by someday in the sky. Anyway. Okay, so some personal properties of the Holy Spirit. Here comes a bunch of scripture. All right, the Holy Spirit is spirit / soul. He's got it. The Holy Spirit is spirit. Does not have a corporeal body. Okay, he's spirit, but he does have a soul. And he has understanding. Let's read 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. The next one will be 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God.
Okay. He has will. 1 Corinthians 12, 11.
But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills.
All right. Love, Romans 15, verse 30. And the next one will be Acts 5, verses 3 and 9. Love, he has the property of love.
Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me.
Okay, the Holy Spirit can be tempted or tried or put to the test. Acts 5, verses 3 and 9.
But Peter said, Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out.
Okay, and so we just saw that, that also the Holy Spirit can be lied to. It's not a good move. No one's going to get one over on God. I don't know why people think that they do, or that God doesn't see, or God doesn't know, and that they can lie to the Holy Spirit. Anyway.
Because it doesn't seem like anything happens right away.
So nothing does happen right away.
Right. So he just says, well, I can do it.
The Holy Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians 4, verse 20. And the other next one is Hebrews 10, verse 29. The Holy Spirit can be grieved.
Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ.
Ephesians 4, verse 20?
Ephesians 4, verse 20.
Oh, wait, so that's wrong then. Try Ephesians 5, possibly. I'm just kidding.
Giving thanks always for all things, the Lord God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
No, it uses the word grieved, grieving the Holy One and True. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Done despot to or insulted, Hebrews 10:29.
Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?
Okay, the Holy Spirit can be vexed. A good one on this is Psalm 78, 17 and 18.
Your prior side was Ephesians 4. 30.
Yeah.
4:30? 4:30, yes.
Oh, Ephesians 4, verse 30. Okay.
You can read that?
Yeah.
Okay, Ephesians 4, verse
30.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
Okay. The Holy Spirit can be vexed. Psalm 78, 17 and 18.
But when they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy.
The Holy Spirit speaks, Revelation 2, verse 7.
Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Okay, the Holy Spirit teaches, John 14, verse 26.
John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance all things that I said to you.
Okay, the Holy Spirit commands, Acts 13, verse 2.
Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord, and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Okay, and Marcy, the Holy Spirit intercedes, Romans 8, 26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Okay, and there's more, because you can quench the Holy Spirit, and I have a much longer list on things that can be done that do not help us in our walk with the Holy Spirit. I'll see if it's in this other thing I did. We'll get to it. Okay, and remember, the Holy Spirit is spirit. That means without body parts or passions, ungodly passions. Okay, now, and next, the Holy Spirit applies the benefits of the covenant. So all the work of Christ is accomplished. It's finished work. The Holy Spirit's job is to apply what Jesus Christ accomplished. So Jesus' work is more like objective out here somewhere, and the Holy Spirit applies what Jesus did to us as individuals. So it's subjective. We're the subject of it. So, like that. Okay? So that's what he's doing. So, the Holy Spirit regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, makes us ready for our inheritance in the light. That's Colossians 1:12. He daily renews, 2 Corinthians 4:16. He brings us to glorification. Okay. And that does it for that. All right. Now, I've compiled, and it might, I don't know if it's on the web or not, but this is names and titles of the Holy Spirit. And, but I'm just going to read, there's scriptures with all of this, but what I want to do is to, I think if I just read out, these are names of the Holy Spirit, names and titles of the Holy Spirit, this first part, you will get a good idea hearing it. What I'm doing is describing the Holy Spirit according to scripture in the names and titles. Okay, breath of the Almighty, comforter, paraclete, gives strength, eternal spirit, free spirit, glory of the Father. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. God, spirit, creator, good spirit, Holy Ghost. Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Ghost is another rendition of spirit. They used to say Holy Ghost, and then people didn't like ghosts anymore, and so they started saying Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of promise. Justifier and sanctifier. The Lord. My Spirit. The Father calls the Holy Spirit, my Spirit. Thy Spirit, his Spirit, as like this. My Spirit shall not always strive with men, from Genesis 6, verse 3. And then 1 John 4:13, he has given us of his Spirit. Okay, power of the highest, power that performed the miracles, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Promise of the Father, or promise of my Father, if Jesus is talking, promise of my Father, or the promise of the Father of me. The seven spirits of God, spirit of adoption, spirit of burning, spirit of Christ, spirit of counsel, spirit of glory and of God, the spirit of God, spirit of grace. And sometimes that's the spirit of grace and supplication. Spirit of holiness. Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:19 speaks of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Spirit of judgment. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of life. Spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That's by inference because it's... Well, read 1 Timothy 1:7. And if it says fear, it's the actual Greek is cowardice, which has a little different, tenor to it than fear. It's not phobos, for like phobia type fear. It's the word for cowardice. Well, let's read 1 Timothy 1, verse 7.
1 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor which things they affirm.
Oh, try a second. It says God has not given us a spirit of fear.
First Timothy.
First Timothy.
One seven.
Did I have that wrong?
No.
First Timothy 1 something.
It's Second Timothy 1:7.
Oh, it was Second Timothy. I need a pen up here. A pen or pencil or something. Oh, thanks. Okay. That's good. I got one now. Okay. Let's read it again. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Sure, I got it. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Okay, and that is talking about cowardice, which is a little different slant on it than a phobia. You know, like you're afraid of, what, spiders or something like that. Okay, I'm not, but some people are. It's funny. Anyway, all right. It's not funny to them. So by inference, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. The spirit of might. The spirit that desires to jealousy. The spirit of the oil of gladness. Spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Spirit of revelation. The spirit of your Father, the spirit of the Father, or the spirit of the Father of you. Spirit of faith, spirit of the fear of the Lord, spirit of the Lord, spirit of the Lord God, spirit of his Son, spirit of supplication, spirit of truth. And I want to point this out. Read 1 John 5, verse 6.
John 5:6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth.
All right. And the Spirit is witness. That, in the Greek, that is one of those rare reversible things. Truth is the Spirit. The Spirit is truth. It's one of those triple identities. Very important. It's very rare, you know. You can't say that when it says God is love. You cannot reverse it and say love is God. It's not one of those. But here, the Spirit is truth. It's one of those Pastor Jim used to talk about, how that is in the Greek. This is one of them. And it's also true about the word witness there too, but they say bear witness. Just like the Spirit is the life producer, they say the Spirit gives life. Well, that's not as strong. It's the Spirit is the life producer, and the life producer is the Spirit. And in this verse, there's two. The Spirit is the witness. He doesn't just bear witness. The Spirit is the witness, and the Spirit is the truth.
So the witness is the Spirit. The truth is the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Very strong. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of wisdom. Now on that I want to say this. Wisdom, and Steve and I were kind of talking about this somewhat. I don't want to get off onto it though, but wisdom, where does it come from? Because you know, we all think we're smart. But God is called God only wise. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, what does God do? He has all the wisdom. He has to communicate the wisdom, his wisdom to us. You see what I mean? We are not wise. That, you know, well, you did have a little example, but I can't remember about the wisdom, but we all think we're coming up with these brilliant ideas and all like that, but what we need to do is humble ourselves and recognize that the Godhead is the wisdom. If we're looking for wisdom, what are we looking for? And Proverbs talks about wisdom and compares the false wisdom, that wisdom that is earthy, sensual, and demonic from James 3, and it's comparing to Christ, the wisdom of God, or even the wisdom of God. And we have to remember that that wisdom is God. That is, God has that wisdom. God alone has that wisdom. So in the gifts of the Spirit, there is a word of wisdom. Wisdom is one of the gifts, the word of wisdom. And also we have to remember that in the garden, when Eve listened to another voice, another word, mm-hmm. Christ was the wisdom of God. So what she was doing was turning, rejecting the wisdom of God to take in and swallow the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of the devil, which is no wisdom probably at all, and the wisdom of the world, and whatever she thought was so, that which was, she swallowed what is earthy, sensual, and demonic. That's what she swallowed. Okay, that's wisdom lesson in a nutshell. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit. The Spirit is the life producer. We went over that. The Spirit is the truth, the witness. Okay, the Spirit is the witness. Let's look up Hebrews 10, verse 15, and Romans 8, verse 16. Hebrews 10, verse 15.
Hebrews 10, verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before.
Okay, but it's the witness. All right, Romans 8, 16.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Okay, so he is the witness to our spirit. The witness. Voice. The voice of the Almighty. Ezekiel 1, verse 24 describes it, like the noise of great waters is the voice of the Almighty. He is the voice of the Lord. In Deuteronomy, you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The Holy Spirit can be, here it is, more details, tempted, tried, tested, grieved, insulted, quieted, vexed, limited, resisted, quenched, lied to, defrauded, despised, disobeyed, blasphemed against, refused or received, obeyed, followed, and yielded to. All right, now let's look again. If we look for the names and titles given to the Holy Spirit, his fingerprints, heart, mind, and will can be found from Genesis to Revelation. And again, he is the third person of the triune Godhead. His power and influence are made clear throughout the Bible. He is the one who regenerates. He turns hearts. The Heart of the King, this was one of Jim's best sermons. I loved it. My favorites. The Heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of waters, he turns it whithersoever he wills. Okay? And so that was describing the garden. How many of you were here for that sermon? I don't know. Okay, some of you were. Like in the garden, they had these gardens. And there was kind of a little irrigation system, and it was controlled really by their feet, so that if they moved their feet, if they moved the foot, it would be like a lever or something, if you moved it to the left, that would direct the water through certain, and some places would get irrigated and others would be left dry. And the same thing, if you kept it in the middle or moved to the right, however the foot moved, that determined where the water would, what would be irrigated, where the waters would go. And so this is like the rivers of water, okay? The heart is in the hands of the king, and like the rivers of water, he turns it, he turns that heart however he wants, whithersoever he wills, you see? So our thing today, since they were an agricultural society, remember, always remember that, we might think of trains and what do they do to change the tracks? It's a big lever, right? And it moves the tracks, and that's going to be the track. Okay, so God would be in control of that by analogy, whithersoever he will. So God is in control of the heart. And see, out of the heart, the man, a person is going to use their, be a moral free agent, yes. But as a moral free agent, he follows the dictates of his heart. And the heart is in the hand of God, who turns it however he wants to turn that heart. And Jesus went through that. You're not going to have your eyes open, and your heart turned, that you might be healed. And unless God turns that heart, opens those ears, and opens those eyes to spiritual truth, there's no healing or salvation. So the prayer is this: heal me and I am healed. Save me and I am saved. And that's in Jeremiah. But then also add, turn my heart the way it's supposed to go. Turn my heart. And that's how it rolls out. So when you're praying for people and where salvation is involved, you have to understand it's not about them making a decision for Christ. Luther wrote a book called The Bondage of the Will. It's about praying for their heart, praying to God, who must change the heart. It's praying to God to turn the heart. But God's going to do what he wills. And we need to understand that. And then the Holy Spirit's job then is to regenerate that heart. And out of the regenerated heart, the person suddenly with opened, you know, their eyes are opening up and their ears are hearing. Because you could sit there for years in a church and hear the word of God and nothing. Nothing. It doesn't get through, believe me. I can testify, I grew up in the church. And you can try to figure it out with your little bean all you want. That's American slang for your noodle, which is American slang for your mind. I love Betty. She says, noodle on it. And so you can try to figure it out and reason it all you want. See, but it comes by revelation. And so all of a sudden your mind is opened, and then you think, you know, that you made this brilliant discovery, that you just heard the gospel for the first time in your life or something like that. No, if you look back over your history, I bet people were witnessing to you here, there. You were getting the gospel somewhere. I mean, I had even had the gospel given to me in a French class through having to read and study Pascal. It was all through his writing. And I'm putting question marks, and I'm having to study this and learn, you know, here's what Pascal believes and blah, blah, blah. And it was all, I mean, that was the professor's way of, you know, here you guys, you're going to have to read all this stuff in French, but it was all this stuff on the gospel. See? Did it get through? Nah. Not at all. But maybe it plowed up some fallow ground, I don't know. But God has to turn the heart. So when you pray for people, pray for the heart, not that they get brilliant enough to figure out the gospel. The gospel is the best news going. It's the best business deal ever. But people won't see it unless God turns the heart. All right. And then the Holy Spirit regenerates along with everything else. Now, let's see. God's power and influence are made clear throughout the Bible. He regenerates, dwells with us. Well, actually, he dwells, it's this way. He is with us, in us, on us, and working through us. Acts 1:8 is about on you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's the on you part. He's with, when he's in you, that's the indwelling. When you get saved, you do receive the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is with you. He's in you and he's with you. And he's working through you. But from Acts 1:8, when he's on you, you get permeated. And so I think that's why baptism is a non-theological term, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you think of it as being permeated, you're not just dunked, you're drenched to the point of being permeated in you, on you, with you, and working through you. You're just, it's all over, folks. You're a drop in the waters of the living water. Okay. He teaches and brings to remembrance. He bears witness. He convinces of sin. Okay, how does he do that? First, you're convicted. You get convicted. Now the devil will come along and he tries to make it like a conviction, but it's more accusing and it's a little different process. When the Holy Spirit convicts, the devil can accuse all he wants when he wants to accuse, and I don't want him accusing me in Jesus' name. But it's all for your destruction. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness, he's giving you not only the sin, but he's giving you the way of escape. He's giving the positive side as well. You see? So the purpose of convicting of sin and convincing us of sin is for conversion, repentance, to get the sin out of our life so that we don't have the negative effects of that sin in our life. It's for good, not for bad. Okay, and so the Holy Spirit teaches and brings to remembrance, and he guides, and he speaks, declares, inspires, and he illumines, meaning he sheds light on something. Speaking through the scriptures, he sends out workers. He forbids certain actions. He intercedes, sanctifies, and a lot more. He has had and continues to have personal relationship with many. He dwells in true believers, the elect of Christ, as a comforter, counselor, and advocate, and teacher, to recall the things taught by Jesus Christ, to testify of Jesus, and to reprove, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay? Let's see there. Advocate. Yes. So he is the advocate. And he really, truly is. I can testify to that. He guides true believers of Christ into all truth. Will not speak of himself, but only that which he hears from above, reveals events to come, and glorifies the Lord by showing the things of Christ. He'll show you things out of the Word of God. So, the Holy Spirit cooperates in the work of redemption with the Father and the Son. 1 John 2:20, but you have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One and know all things. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Okay. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, Jesus talking, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. John 16:13-14. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is called God. He is called the Lord of Jehovah. Acts 28:25. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah. And Isaiah referred to there, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord. Who's the voice? The Holy Spirit. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said, because you know what? Isaiah was like listening in. He's listening in on this conversation. Anyway. Then said I, here am I, send me. And he, the Holy Spirit, said, go and tell this people. All right, so there's a lot of things.
Mary, can I just throw up? One of my favorites is Isaiah 61. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So is that the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Spirit of the Covenant Lord. The Spirit of the Father. The Spirit of the Lord.
But upon.
Yeah, he's called the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, upon. That's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the one unpardonable sin. That's from Matthew chapter 12. And if we think about why so, well, think of the work of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does. It's the Holy Spirit who regenerates hearts. He's the one who applies the work of Christ to somebody to save them, to heal them, you know, to deliver them out of troubles, whatever. He's the one that's doing the application work. He's the power. He's all these things. Right? So, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by the things, well, you know, all that list I gave you before, things that can be done to the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness for that. Because who would be, you're coming against the very person who would be giving you the power, the ability to forgive. And you're coming against the person who would be bringing you the forgiveness or the repentance, to repent of your sins, all the work of salvation, all of it. So there's no forgiveness for it. There isn't any forgiveness for that. And people come dangerously close. And what we're seeing now with some of the artwork, I heard about some artwork, I won't repeat it, some artwork, and what we're seeing in blatant, I mean, we are in a time when there is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, blasphemy against him is forgiven. But when you come up against the Holy Spirit, no. Perfections of God are ascribed to him. He has eternal existence. He's called the Eternal Spirit. Eternal meaning perpetual, everlasting, and eternal. Omniscience. The Spirit searches all things, as 1 Corinthians 2. He is omnipresent. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? That's Psalm 139, but it's also in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6. There's no place you can go from the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can run, you cannot hide. He's everywhere. Now, a lot of things about the scripture can either be your comfort or your terror. See, God is either your comfort or he's your terror. We are to have a very heavy, you know, fear of the Lord, knowing who he is. Never estimate it. Never underestimate it. Never underestimate what God might do in the sanctification process. He is omnipotent, the Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. And that's with the gifts, but also he has all power because he's the Spirit of Christ who was given all power. God has all power, and the Holy Spirit is God. He has all power. Works of divine power are attributed to him. Jesus Christ was begotten, not made. So he begets the Son of God. Jesus Christ is called the child of whom?
The Holy Spirit.
All right. So who's his father?
The Holy Spirit,
who is the Spirit of the Father. Because this is a mystery, but you know, you got to kind of think about it. The Holy Spirit anoints Jesus for his work. That was in Luke 4. The Spirit came, descended on Jesus, and anointed him, and that's Luke 4 where you're talking about the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Right. He communicates supernatural gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are in 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts of the Father are listed in Romans 12, and the gifts of Jesus Christ to the body of Christ are listed in Ephesians 4. Works of divine power, he convinces people of sin. He admits him to the Father. I have Ephesians 2:18, let's try it. Admits him to the Father. Works of divine power.
Ephesians 2:18. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
Okay, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. So how do we get back through to the Father? It's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightens someone's mind, regenerates the soul, sanctifies man's nature, endows man with Christian graces. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Seals a person to eternal life, reveals future events, inspired the prophets. He inspires the prophets. He is distinctly named as a person in the Godhead, because when we look at baptize, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you, baptizing them into the name. It's not in the name. It's into the name, and the name is singular. Mm-hmm. Baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. But we're baptizing people into the name. That's not just, in the name. No, you get baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the apostolic benediction, let's look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14.
2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Okay. 1 John 5:7. He's one of the witnesses in heaven. I think we read that verse before, but...
For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, And these three are one.
Okay, now there's one of the, there's one, some verse in 1 John 5 that was added. Not in any, it's not in the original text. Not sure which one. It's right in there though, in that section. Unless your Bible has footnotes.
I think it's on earth.
On earth one.
And
yeah.
It's similar to in heaven, but it's a little
but
different.
But the one they added it. They
it's
added
right there
it.
At the same place.
So just forget that. Cooperation of the Holy Spirit in the work of redemption. What does he do? He instructs man by inspiration of the Bible, producing a God-breathed word. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that word is breathed out. A God-breathed word. By direct teaching, a lot of scriptures here, but by direct teaching, he regenerates people. Titus 3, that's it, but we won't read it all here. Titus 3, 4 through 7, but he regenerates. And Job 33, 4 says, the Spirit of God has made me. He makes a person the child of God. He gives the power of prayer and prays with and for people. My seminary professor, Dr. Raymond, used to call the Holy Spirit the divine editor. He will edit your prayers. But do not presume upon that. Do not. Like, oh, I can say whatever I want and the Holy Spirit's going to edit it. No, because you need to guard the relationship with the Holy Spirit, the one who's doing the who's the editor. Gives and increases faith. And we have the same spirit of faith. The Holy Spirit, one of his titles is the Spirit of Faith. He is the Spirit of Faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13, let's try that.
2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak.
All right. The same Holy Spirit of faith, the spirit of faith. We have the same Holy Spirit. If the one inside of us is the same Holy Spirit, we're going to read the verse again.
And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak.
Okay, so we're going to, this is why I say that true Christians act the same nutty self all over the world. We have the true believers talk about the same thing. I mean, when we got on the plane coming back, that woman immediately was set to witness to you, to evangelize you, right? She had her Bible ready to pull out, and she was, you know, that was, and so, and people will do that. The woman next to me, I asked her questions, and there was nothing coming out from her to try to witness, and I kind of even set it up. I was kind of setting her up in case she was going to, you know, talk to me and whatever, like, no, nothing, there was nothing. And, but Christians, they have a way, true believers, of, checking each other out, they're doing that. And there is an attraction. There can be an attraction because like spirits attract. Like spirit attract. So this attraction of the Holy Spirit, when I met Reverend Clanton, we'll be real, you know, whatever, and call her Reverend Clanton, because she is Reverend Clanton. We met in a classroom that was on racial communications or something. The rhetoric of social protest, that was the official title, but it was on racial communications and what have you. And it was, when we entered the room, it was like, we had known each other forever. We hadn't known each other forever. We are so different in our upbringing.
Only now.
Yeah. only 30 years later. But we didn't, but so God put us together. God put us together. And that one time when I was asked to go up to Harvard Law School Christian Fellowship, they wanted it to be on racial reconciliation, and I asked Jackie to go because I said, we are racial reconciliation. This is how it comes. So at a breakfast, I had her speak about how we give the testimony of how we met. That's the only way it really comes. The same, you know, thing. But as far as in the natural, we come from such divergent everything. Our stories, the families we grew up in, politics, a lot of times, you name it. We're very different, very different. And she's a much classier dresser than I am, and she would have heard the way she dresses would have greatly pleased my mother. And I guess that was my little rebellion. I wouldn't wear shoes, and I didn't wear stockings often enough. My mother actually worked in the yard with stockings, and not sneakers either, and shoes, and did yard work. She really did the yard work. She was very much of a in-the-yard type person. And she never wore shorts, and she always was in a dress. Mm-hmm. And not because of some Christian whatever, it wasn't anything to do with that. It was her concept of being a lady. And ladies, and then I came along. I don't know what happened. But I couldn't even think with socks on and stockings and everything. I said, I can't even be creative like that. I have to be barefoot. I actually had to make a special deal. I worked for an attorney, you know. And I said, I will be barefoot behind this thing, this, you know, this barrier here. Where I said, just have this barrier there so nobody can see I'm barefoot. Because I said, I will do a lot better work if I'm barefoot. Because the shoes just... I just don't like the
Here's
shoes.
The typing rate barefoot. Here's the typing rate with the
right.
shoes you choose.
I know.
They said barefoot.
So they didn't care as long as you got that workout. But when a client came, I did have to put the shoes on. And I had to put the shoes on to walk down the halls of this huge law firm. It's crazy. But anyway, I just don't like shoes. I have them on today, but okay. That was a little laughing break. The Holy Spirit, and we're almost finished. And the Holy Spirit enables man to bring forth good fruit to God's glory. Because if we're going to bear good fruit, it's going to be coming out of the thought and intent of God's holy heart. Right? And the Holy Spirit is going to produce that work of righteousness and produce that fruit. The Holy Spirit sanctifies. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. How may we obtain the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus said in Luke 11:13, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. How do we obtain the Holy Spirit? Ask. So if you're witnessing to someone and they're just, I don't know, maybe you're the first, who knows where you are before they're ready to, you know, just to, they're so ripe that they're just right there, right? You can always ask them, would you let me pray? Would you let me, are you willing to let me pray for you to know the truth? Are you willing to let me get their permission to pray? Are you willing to let me pray for the Father in heaven to give you the Holy Spirit? Are you willing? And then whatever they're willing. Are you willing to let me pray for you to understand what I've just said to you, the gospel, you know, or whatever? Ask their permission. some of them give it and some of them, make a face or whatever. All right, how we may obtain the Holy Spirit, secondly, by faith. Jesus said, "He that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water flow out of the mid part of your body. So, when there's a little war going on, guess this part of the body may get attacked. All right?
Mm.
Live with it.
Mm.
And so, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, but it's by faith. You have to believe what Jesus says. You have to believe Jesus. He believes that. That's something he believes, and we have to believe what Jesus believes. That's why we're teaching all that for a long time. I don't know how long we've been at it.
3 years plus.
What?
I think we're in our fourth year.
What? Yes. We are already?
Yes.
Well, I don't even know. We thought we might get finished last Easter, and we're not going to get finished this Easter. We're just going, well, we're making our way. Okay, we're getting the mind of Christ, though. And then on obtaining the Holy Spirit by repentance and obedience. By repentance and obedience. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. And it's also in Titus 3, verse 5, and 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Then if we keep our Lord's commandments, the Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. I'm going to say it's probably a whenever we keep the Lord's commandments. The Holy Spirit abides with us. It's probably more accurate. If we are Christians, if we are true believers, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. That's the in you there. We must live as becomes his holy presence. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's in your human spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is a distinct person in the Godhead. His titles, offices, and works support it. It shows him to be a divine entity, equal in power and glory with the Father and the Son, concerning the creation and the salvation of mankind. His work is both ordinary and extraordinary. This by immediate inspiration and by his regeneration and sanctifying influences. He will inform us and remind us that we are the children of God. He sheds light on the scriptures, the word of God. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit is a person. He is not an it. He is not the force. Amen.
Amen.